Yeah, sound?
Yes, sir.
Good. Let's pray and we get right into our class for tonight. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. God, there's just so much we have to be thankful for. Thank you for apostolic government. Thank you for this training center that's given us an insight into the apostolic where it can enhance our lives. Father, I thank you for the students that are here, not only in this classroom, but those that are watching by internet. Father, may we all reach all the potential that you have laid out for us. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Father, thank you for the other instructors. Thank you for their grace. The grace is on their life. Thank you that we're working as a team, Father, to accomplish your agenda. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to Philippians, the first chapter. Last time we were together, we were still talking about the proper mental attitudes for covenant. We were on number 5. We have to recognize that we carry the same grace as those that we're connected to. Go to Philippians, the first chapter. Very familiar scripture, or a phrase of this particular scripture you're going to read is very familiar. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Philippi, or the Philippian church. And he said in verse 5, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." Now, Paul said a mouthful right there. Paul began to really reveal his heart to the Philippian church. I love what he says. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means covenant is forever. From what he that begin a good work in you will do it until the day of Jesus Christ, until Jesus Christ returns. Now watch this. Paul begins to say this, even it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. See, one of the things you must understand about apostolic government is that each fivefold ministry gift has a different function. And a lot of times, because of our church upbringing, we're only used to pastors. And so we don't really get a chance to really we never have really gotten a chance to understand the other fivefold ministry gift, especially apostle. You know, if you did any research at all, did any studying at all about an apostle before we actually started talking about apostolic government, you would only see the definition of an apostle as being a sent one. That's all you would see. So they begin to equate apostles to missionaries. And that's not the case. Do y'all know where the word apostle really comes from? It's actually not originally a Christian term. It's originally a Roman Empire term. The term actually comes from the Roman Empire. Here's what an apostle, and Jesus at the time, and Paul began to use apostle to convey, it's almost as a parable, to convey heavenly ideas using earthly stories. All right? So an apostle really, watch this, in the Roman Empire, they would conquer other territories. And they would send out what's called apostles. Apostles would be somebody who sent to that newly conquered territory to get the people familiar with the Roman culture. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. And so the apostle Paul and them took on that particular title because that's exactly what they were doing. Right. They were going to newly Christian at the time. Jesus died on the cross. So now we are shifting from Judaism to Christianity. We're shifting from the old covenant to the new covenant. So now you have Christians. So this is new territory. So this was being Christianity was being invaded into these new territories. And so the Apostle Paul was not just. So now you see the definition of being a sent one is not just it's not an all encompassing. I hope you listen to that, Internet. It's not an all encompassing definition. When they sent a person out from the Roman government or the Roman Empire to a newly conquered territory, their job was to indoctrinate the people of Roman culture. So the Apostle Paul, that's why an apostle sets doctrine. Because it sets a foundation for which we're going to behave, from which our culture is going to stand. And so when Paul said here, he said, watch this in verse 7. Even as it is for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, as much as both in my bonds. So he said, I'm bound to the gospel. I have you in my heart. So that means you're bound to the gospel also. Are you seeing this? So therefore, we have become, not only do we have to acknowledge apostles, but we must acknowledge our apostolic connection. Other words, we have to recognize the grace. We have to recognize the grace on our. See, this is why it's important. Don't tell me. I don't want to know how anointed you are. I never want to know how anointed a person is, because that's irrelevant to me. Tell me who you're connected to, and I will tell you how effective your anointing will be. Tell me who you're connected to, and I'm going to tell you how effective your anointing can be. Because you could be anointed in the wrong place. If you're anointed in the wrong place, then you're definitely fighting and dealing with burdens that you don't have a grace to deal with. So you may be anointed to the hilt, but if you're in the wrong place, you're dealing with the wrong demons. Yeah. I hope you're getting this, Internet. Yes. So you have to partake in the grace of the person you're connected to. So anybody doing this, who Paul was talking to, notice what he said. Be confident of the very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul was talking to the church at Philippi and telling them, listen, this is something new that we're coming across. This is something new we're establishing. Look, be confident that what God has started with you all will carry on till Jesus come back. So you have to stay faithful in what you're doing now to lay a foundation for those that come behind you. Are you seeing this? So if I don't recognize the grace of the leader I'm connected to, then it's going to be hard for me to leave a legacy or set a foundation for which those that come in behind me. Why? Because it's almost like you're setting a foundation of sand. Sand moves. Right. It shifts. Right. It's different than having a foundation of concrete. Right. Once concrete's set, it don't move. But you can set sand and come and just take your foot and move it around. It shifts. So we have to set a foundation that does not shift. How do we set aside? Thank you, Holy Spirit. How do we set a foundation that does not shift? We don't change with the winds of doctrine. We don't change when what God has been telling us to do has become unpopular to man. We don't change who God made us to be. Right. So that's why I have to become a partaker of the grace also that my leader has. I have to accept that grace. See, in order for me to partake in something, I have to accept it. Yes, sir. I have to acknowledge it, accept it, become a part of it. So therefore, I become a part of the concrete process. I become a part of the hardening process. The process in which we will not be moved. Yes, sir. Come hell or high water, we ain't going nowhere. Yes, sir. Are you seeing this? So you have to become a partaker of the grace. Finally, number six, the sixth mental attitude for those who choose government is you must develop a conscious effort to pay the price of honor to value the relationship. Are you seeing this? You have to pay a price of honor to value the relationship. Other words, if it means something to you, then you're willing to go beyond the norm. See, Ruth's relationship, her relationship with Naomi was valuable to her. How we know it's valuable to her? We know it's valuable to Ruth because Ruth lost her husband, could have went back to her own people, but didn't go. What was this possibly? Listen to me now. Watch this. What was this possibly costing her? It was possibly costing her another husband. Because remember now, we read in the Bible with 20/20 vision. We can see clear into Ruth's future. See, Ruth couldn't see into her future. So Ruth was really honoring Naomi and was willing to pay the price to honor the relationship. So because Ruth was willing to honor and pay the price to honor the relationship that Naomi, that she had with Naomi, God was sitting there ready to reward her price that she paid. See, God, listen to me. Hebrews 11:6, turn there. You know this scripture backwards and forwards. But the problem is we don't read this scripture from an apostolic point of view. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, here's the part I want you to see. And that he is a what?
Rewarder
of them that do what?
Diligently seek him.
Are you seeing this? Yes. So it says, without faith or without my assignment. It's impossible. If I don't know what God wants me to do. So now this is why people misunderstand faith and take faith as just a tool to get what you want. But faith is not a, listen to me, that faith is not a tool to get what you want. Faith is a tool for you to know how to bring to pass what God wants. See, Ruth, the price that Ruth paid to honor Naomi did two things. First, it led her to Boaz. And more importantly, it made a Gentile woman part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Are you seeing this? So you have to, don't ever think for one moment that the sacrifices that you make, that the level of honor that you have for your leader is going unnoticed. God sees it. And God honors it. And God is not just going to honor it with lip service. The Bible we just read that he said he is a rewarder of those that what?
Diligently.
That means not just seek him. Diligently. Other words, I'm doing this on purpose. I'm not going to serve God on accident. I'm going to do this on purpose. God, I wake up in the morning looking for where you're going. I get up in the morning looking for where you're going to be. I get up in the morning looking for what you want to do today. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So when you take it to that level, God honors that and God always sees it. See, Boaz would have never shown up if Ruth had not paid the price. Now, you got to see what I'm saying. Now, see what I'm saying. One of my favorite scriptures is Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, we're trying to get God to do stuff for us that we're not willing first to sow. And really, God made it easier for us. Because here it is, Ruth thought she was giving up something, but actually she was being set up for something better. Yes, sir. Ephesians 3:20. See, this is why I don't mind, and we're going to get into this later on. I can't remember which chapter where it's going to talk about son, sow all now for the future. We're going to get to that. Here's why. There's no better person to sell out to than God. Because number one, God got a reputation he got to uphold. And number two, he's not a man that he should lie. All right. So we got those two things working on our behalf. All right. So whenever, watch this, we'll give you an example of Ruth. Ruth lost her husband, gave up the possibility of getting another husband. Am I right? Am I preaching good? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Gave up her right for another husband by staying with Naomi. Yeah. Right? Yes.
Right?
So here's the thing about God. God never puts you in a position to do something for him and he matches you equally. Two reasons. Why? Number one, because God is not you. God is God. He's sovereign. He's God all by himself. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient and he's all powerful. You get what I'm saying? Omnipresent. He's everywhere. So God can't just equally match you. This is where this scripture comes from. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, watch this, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power that's working in us? It's apostolic order. When we walk in apostolic order, and that's an all-encompassing word, because when you walk in apostolic order, you got to have love working on your behalf. You got to have grace working on your behalf. You got to have faith working on your behalf. You have to have these things. You have to have righteousness working on your behalf. And when you have all these things working on your behalf, God comes in and does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now, Ruth was sitting there thinking she had given up her right to another husband. And in the midst of her connection, Naomi walked her right into an exceedingly abundantly above all that she can ask or think event in her life. Are you seeing this? See, so when you don't ever think that the price that you the things you're sacrificing,
right.
You know, other I wouldn't do all that. See, watch this. Your level of honor should make people uncomfortable around you. It should make people uncomfortable. You know, it should. What I mean by uncomfortable is either going to make them upset or is going to challenge them. One of the two. If nobody around you gets upset with you because of how you connected to your leader, then you're not being diligent about it. Are you seeing this? See, this is the kind of honor that we're talking about. The honor that makes your neighbors nervous. It puts them in a position to where they be like, I don't really want to be around him. I don't want to be around her because I know when they get there what they're going to do. I know how they're going to act. I know how they're going to do. I know they're going to be the first one to get there. I know they're going to be the last one to leave. I don't even want to deal with them. I don't even want to hang with them, which is fine because you was waiting anyway. You see what I'm saying? So when you don't ever think for a minute, I keep reiterating, don't ever think for a minute that when you decide to be apostolic, what I mean by apostolic, you begin to recognize the graces on your leader's life. You begin to pay a price to honor them, which means you're honoring God. Remember God said, do it unto, when you're working, do it as you do it unto me. So as I serve Apostle Thompson, I love Apostle Thompson. I do whatever it takes for him, but I'm really doing this for God. God put me in this position. So I'm not only, so it really benefits Apostle Thompson for me to do it under God, because I give all my all to God. At the same time, are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
So y'all got that?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I need to read this particular statement. Those in covenant and those who are mature know that covenant relationships are an investment that will protect them and provide for them in the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying that.
Yes, sir.
Ruth sacrificed potentially getting another husband, sacrificed being with her family,
right,
going back to her people,
right,
and paid that price. And walk right to where Boaz was.
Right.
Number 7. I think it's the last one of the chapter. Yeah. The 7th mental attitude that Ruth had is her willingness to take a stand in righteousness so that Naomi could see the full redemption of her land and property. Other words, what that simply means is that Ruth was willing to stand with Naomi in righteousness. What's right? What God wants. I don't care what anybody else says. See, you got to realize that this level of apostolic covenant is just as important then, is important now, just as it was then. Because we're going through the same thing. It was important during Paul's time. The reason why it was important during Paul's time is because that was Paul establishing the church we know today. So it was a new concept, a new idea. Nobody talked about before Apostle Paul and Peter, nobody wasn't talking about the blood of Jesus. They weren't talking about the blood of Jesus. They weren't talking about redemption. They weren't talking about righteousness. They were still trying to live by the law. So whenever Paul stood up and began to stand in defense of the gospel, he had to have people around him that stood with him.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this? Not just stand with him for the sake of standing with him, standing with him because they believe just as much as he believed. Why? Because it's working in their lives just as much as it's working in his life.
Right.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, Ruth stood with Naomi until she got the matter of fact, she began to use her grace and her influence with Boaz so that all of the property, go back and read it, so that all of the property that Naomi had lost was returned to her. Are you seeing this? So what that means? There is no gifting, no talent that I'm withholding from the apostolic government of God. I'm not withholding anything back. I'm not going to hold nothing back. God, you got it all. Matter of fact, God, I'm not even thinking about what man going to give me for doing what I do. Because I don't want what they got. God, I want what you got. Because God, you're the only one that's ever said you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I ain't never had no man come and tell me that. God is raising a genuine company of covenant partners that will cause the status. Now, listen to this, cause the status and the stature of their fathers to rise to the next level. You have something to do with your leader going to the next level. What I mean by that. Do I mean it's your talent, your grace that helps them? No. What I mean by that is your maturity level. It's you being able to go to another level that allows your leader to go to another level. Watch this. If I'm connected to Apostle Thompson, and I am, then Apostle Thompson is supposed to lead me. So he can't lead me further than I'm ready to go. So therefore, if I'm not maturing, that means I'm holding him back from going to the next level because he can't take me someplace I'm not ready to go. Is this making sense? So we, those of us that follow, we have to always be in a position to mature. I saw a powerful definition of maturity. The definition of maturity has nothing to do with what you know. It has everything to do with how you behave. Maturity is really knowing how to behave in situations. Proper behavior in situations, that shows maturity. Now let's use the definition. You know when you find a brat, they can't get what they want, so they start pouting. That's not a sign of maturity. Because most people, if they can't get what they want, they figure out a way how they can get it. But somebody who's immature is not going to start figuring out how they can get it. They're going to start pouting and crying about why they can't get it and who's holding them back. See, we have to always be in a position to mature. Going from faith to faith. Going from one assignment to another. I can't rest on the laurels of assignments that I've accomplished. God, what are you saying to me today? God, what are you telling? What direction is my leader going now? Is this making sense? So if we have to mature so that our fathers and our leaders can go to the next level. Jacob and Esau, you know the story. They came back together and they were getting ready to travel to another land. And it was going up a mountain. And Jacob made this statement. Esau was going fast, was moving up the mountain fast. Jacob made this statement. Jacob said, Esau, you go on ahead. You're going to go up the mountain. I got my people following me that's not able to move as fast as I can. So I'm going to stay back with them so I can lead them the right way. The reason why Jacob couldn't move as fast was because of the people that was following him. So if I pick up the pace, see, so that means a lot of times things I'm supposed to be receiving, I don't receive because I ain't matured to that level yet. And my leader can't take me there. Is that making sense? Isaiah 61 and 9. We're going to end this chapter with this. Here's what the 77 mental attitudes, proper mental attitudes of covenant. This is what it's going to do. Watch this. Verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. A group of people, a covenant of people. That's really what the Jews was in the Old Testament. A group of people who God's hand was on. And every time they made a move, the people knew that there was something about them. There was something different about them that the rest of us didn't have. Every battle they went into, every time they went to conquer land, there was something different about them that nobody else had. And so when we walk in covenant, we become the people that have offspring, that the next generation, the generation after that. Why they recognize them? Because they recognized us. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. See, I don't want to mess with them group of people. When they put their mind on something, when they put their mind on something, nobody can get in their way. Because they when they get in their way, stuff happens to them. Chapter 8 for us is going to give you an insight of, I almost call chapter 8 a cheat sheet of how to prepare myself, to be valuable in the apostolic house I'm in. Chapter 8 is going to give you a cheat sheet because actually the title of chapter 8 is identifying those who join in covenant. So Identify meaning looking for certain characteristics.
Yes, sir.
So if I know these characteristics, I can allow the Holy Spirit to shape me so that I can become valuable to my apostolic house. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Go to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. Look at verse 1. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in times past, even when Saul was king, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people. Therefore come all the elders of Israel to the king, to Hebron, and David made a what?
Covenant
with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Verse 4, and David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. David said, Whosoever smited the Jebusite first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore, they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, even from Milo round about. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Verse 10. This is the one I want you to see. These also are the chiefs of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Now, these men gathered themselves around David and they began to make a commitment to David. Now, here's the thing. Here's what's important. Why did they commit to David? Why did they commit to David? It's very simple. And here's how all of us, the reason why we should commit to our spiritual leaders. Because God has anointed them to do so. It's not rocket science. So now if God, here's the thing, if God has anointed them to do so, or to lead this apostolic house, then that means that the grace, watch this, if I want to partake of any grace that they have, I have to commit, listen now, I have to commit myself to them.
Yes, sir.
Now, why do we have such a problem with that in today's society? The reason why we have a problem with that in today's society is because the church has not been apostolic for a long time. That's why all these denominations develop. You remember, you know how the denominations develop. The denominations develop when somebody, a man or woman of God, authentically has a revelation from God, but does not let the revelation progress. They stand in still. So a denomination is built on revelation that refuses to progress. So now it becomes man making stuff up now. Making rules and regulations and orders and things to keep people in line.
Right.
Okay, all right.
So people don't see.
Wow.
One of the greatest characteristics of the apostolic, you're going to hear me say this over and over, is you got to be willing.
Yes.
You got to be willing. Can't nobody make you do this.
Right.
You got to be willing to pay the price. You got to be willing to make the sacrifice. You got to be willing to commit yourself. You got to be willing to submit yourself to a man or woman of God who God has showed you is anointed for you.
Yes, sir.
Who has a grace for you. You have to make that choice. Can't nobody make you do it.
Yes, sir.
Right.
This is something you have to choose. Listen to me. This is something you have to choose to do. Can't nobody force you to do this.
Wow.
So that's why ain't nobody going to be chasing you.
I
meant to say this earlier, and I got sidetracked. You know, an apostle is not really concerned about how you feel. Apostle is not an apostle, a true apostle. A pastor may be. But an apostle don't care. Apostle only concerned about structuring heaven and earth government. Whether you like it or not, this is what God say we got to do. This direction we're going to go on. You make up your mind. Once again, that is your choice. If you're going to be with this or not. So it has to be, I have to be willing to submit to a man or woman. And you know what? God set this precedent in order. God set this precedent himself. He set this precedent with Abraham. He set this precedent with Melchizedek. God became flesh to receive Abraham's tithe. So therefore, that precedent was set that God is going to use men to execute his agenda in the earth realm. So if you got a problem coming into covenant with a man or woman, then you will not ever be apostolic. You will never be in divine order. You can't be in divine order by yourself. Because if you say you're in divine order and you're on an island by yourself, that means it begins with you and it ends with you. I only know one Alpha and Omega.
Right. Yes, sir.
So if there's nobody, listen to me, if there's nobody that you can submit to, then you will never be apostolic. You will never, God will never use you. God won't touch you. He won't even look your direction. Why? Because you're a renegade. God knows as soon as he anoints you, gives you some grace, you can go off and start doing some stuff he ain't say do. He already knows this. So you have to be identified. You have to be identified. Listen. Your leaders are going to sometimes do some things just to cross you up. On purpose. To see where your mind at. Whether you're going to get upset. Whether you're going to get mad. Whether you're going, I don't like that, I'm leaving. I'm going to the church. Goodbye.
Right.
See, y'all about to laugh. We was in high school, we had a group of friends. I had a group of friends, about 3 or 4 of us. And you know, in high school, you're having fun, you're being young. And one of the rules we had was we didn't mind if one of our friends tried to holler at our girlfriend. We made that pact. We wasn't upset. Why? Because if she talked to you, then she wasn't committed to me. And in the future, it's going to be worse on me anyway. So I might as well have my little feelings hurt now. Are you seeing this? See, you have to be committed. You have to be identified. See, remember I talked about being predictable? You got to be unpredictable to Satan, but you have to be predictable to God. You have to be predictable to your leader. In other words, your leader has to have enough confidence in you that even if he or she makes a mistake, they can look back and know you're going to have their back because they're going to get it corrected. Just yesterday, Pastor Thompson stepped in the pulpit and began to correct some things about health and all this. And watch this. We have to trust him as a leader to go some places. I'll never forget. Apostle say, put the crosses in the church. Take the crosses out of the church. Apostles say, this is what grace is. Apostles say, oh, I found out this ain't what grace is. See, these little turns is to shake people off. For themselves. Because You don't have time to be in the midst of battle. And look around.
Yeah.
See, people don't understand. The story of Gideon is apostolic from top to bottom. From the beginning to the end. It's an apostolic, it's a demonstration of apostolic government. Gideon walked out there, it was 29,000. 32,000. How many of y'all just straight up scared? Bunch of them went back. Why? Because they know where we about to go. How many of y'all just straight up scared? Just straight up scared. Just let me know now. If you're scared, say you're scared. Bunch of them went on back. So he said, I still got too many. Which lets me know from the apostolic story, for lets me know from that apostolic event that it don't take God using a lot of people to get things done. So that also lets me know that I can't look at the crowd to make a decision if my leader is anointed or not.
That's right.
I can't look at the crowd to for their opinion to see if my leader is anointed. Or watch it. I can't look at the crowd to see if to give me confirmation as if I'm supposed to be connected to this leader or not.
Yes, sir.
I got to know for myself. I got to know for myself and I got to go for myself. He took him down to the river and said, all y'all drink. Got rid of all the careless ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that just laid all their weapons down, just laid everything, just all free and just don't know where the enemy at.
Right.
And he wound up with how many? 300. They were identified. How were they identified? A series of tests. They were identified through a series of tests. How are you going to be identified? So that's why you have to make up your mind, this is what I'm going to do. Especially when God has told you this is who you're supposed to be connected to. See, listen to me very carefully. God is not going to tell you to be connected to somebody who themselves are not connected. Once again, don't tell me how anointed you are. Show me who you're following and I'll show you how effective your anointing will be. I'd have been around some anointed people that didn't have no kind of accountability whatsoever. And they reckoned the body of Christ. Great gifts, but wrecking the body of Christ because they hit and miss. And the people of God can't tell when they're hitting and missing because it all looks the same. I've talked to some of them personally. I know they're hitting and missing. Told them they were hitting and missing. But because of the crowd and because of the honorariums, they could persist to juke the people, but it ain't going to happen long. It ain't gonna happen long. God is getting to a point. And see, here's the thing. Here's what's the apostolic. God had to, you say, well, okay, the apostolic, and I know God let a lot of stuff go on in the church. Why does God let a lot of stuff go on in the church? Well, the reason why God allows a lot of stuff to go on in the church is because he has to get his house in order first before we able to go and win the world like we're supposed to. See, God can't endow us with his power without us being accountable.
Right.
He can't anoint us fully without us being accountable.
Yep.
Because if he anoints us fully without being accountable, that means he's validating our misbehaving. So God can't bring judgment in the world until he brings judgment in the house. God couldn't bring judgment in the house because when you bring judgment in the house, there has to be something there that can stand so that when the house is being rebuilt, it will be rebuilt properly. So this is why there's a resurgence in the apostolic government of God or divine order of God, because now when real apostles begin to show up and begin to structure heaven and earth government, then God brings judgment in his house.
Right.
When he brings judgment in his house, there is something left standing after judgment is there that people can run to, which is apostolic government, his divine order. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So there are a series of tests that you will go through before you're identified. This chapter, and we're going to get to it next week, this chapter is going to tell us some key characteristics of that we should have to be identified. And watch this. Don't think you're going to be able to learn this chapter and become this.
Right.
This is going to have to be in you. Because I promise you, they're going to be there. I've seen it. I've seen some people. Dr. Thompson, I love you. I'll never leave you. I mean, been around for 20, 25 years. I'll never leave you. I ain't going nowhere. Until he makes a move that they don't like. When he make a move they don't like, my season.
Right.
My season is over. So we'll get there next week. I moved the exams back. Listen to the internet. I moved the exams back 1 week so we can get at least 3 class periods. So we have class. We had class last week. We have class this week. We have class next week. Then the following week will be the exam. All right. I haven't decided yet what chapter is going to be on, but by next week I'll have it decided. Y'all have a wonderful night. How many are enjoying school?
Yes, sir.
Good. I really hope it's making a difference. Making a difference in your life. You're learning a lot. And I want to see results in your life from this, you know, because, you know, I've been to college. I've made those sacrifices, especially for you, for night school, man. This ain't no cakewalk.
Right.
You know, as in those of you that are here showing up for class and those that watch by internet, it's not a cakewalk. So I appreciate your efforts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.